Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at a way to see the world as God sees the world, to try to embrace a God focus in our lives, a lifestyle and an attitude that that sustains us, as the Gospels and as the epistles tell us, in season and out of season. This is a fancy way of saying every day, day in and day out. I love looking at the natural world, and being someone who's from the Great Lakes region and in a northern climate, we have the privilege of looking at so much in our natural world that's diverse. The diversity of the natural world shows us the seasons. We live four seasons, don't we? Now, sometimes, like in this past few months, the natural world doesn't seem to have gotten the memo as to what season and what month is supposed to come first. For some reason, we had the opportunity to have a March in February, and now that we are in March, we are having a February in March. And our trees don't quite know what to do with it, do they? I've seen trees that have budded, and now they don't quite know whether they're going to flower as the weather goes back and forth. In the midst of all of that, we see the evergreen tree. And the evergreen tree is built to withstand the winter. In fact, the evergreen tree is native to the northern climates, to the wintry mixes. And because these places have very short warm periods, they boast waxy, tough leaves. And those waxy, tough leaves are prepared to engage in the process of photosynthesis throughout the year. As long as they're not iced over or covered in snow, they are continuing to produce energy, which is why they're green all the time. They're durable, they're tough, and they last. That's who God wants us to be, like the evergreen. Durable and strong, and always in season. Now, that's not an easy thing. And evergreen trees take a lot of abuse through the winter, don't they? And so do we as people. You see, as people and as Christians, we have good days and bad days, don't we? I've been in a lot of hospitals over the last couple of weeks, and one of the things I could tell you, there's a chart on every wall on the opposite of the patient, right? They used to just ask you how you felt. Then they added a number system to it. Now they have smiley faces, don't they? And those smiley, frowny faces are on a chart, and you could just say, oh, I'm a little one-tier version of pain, right? And you know that there are days when you are having a smiley day, and then there are days when you're having a frowny day. And the difficulty of a faith walk is that on a good day, we feel fully the presence of God and God's people. And it's not hard to find that presence. But on a bad day, we feel the darkness all around us. And it can seem like it's closing in. Now, the reality is God is always there, just like the sun is always there on a cloudy day. The clouds block the sun, but the sun is still there. Sometimes the clouds of a difficult day can block, from our perspective, the presence of God. But God wants us to know, and the people want us to, and God's people continue to preach and teach and share that even on the worst days, God is with us. We hear it in the songs that we sing, we hear it in the hymns and in the tradition of the Psalms, we see it in the poetry. your footprints poems, and your refrigerator magnet poems that we all read and see. The issue is deep within each of us. And it's an issue that impacts and affects people outside of the church even more than it impacts us. Because outside of the church, people still believe that the world works according to, to be honest, the world sees how God works as a reward and a punishment system. So good people have good things happen to them. And bad people have bad things happen to them. That's how the world sees it. All you got to do is ask people that have had good things happen to them. And they'll tell you that they deserve it all. They'll tell you that it was that they had good things happen because they did the right things and they were rewarded for doing the right things. And those people that have had bad things happen to them, well, they must have done something wrong, right? Is that something that you've encountered in your life? A system by which when you do, you know, when you have a good day, it's a reward for doing the right thing. And when you're having a bad day, somehow it's a punishment. So people who are in pain, people who are suffering, people who are hurting, they get the double whammy, not only of going through a tough day, but also feeling guilt that they must have done something wrong. Well, I tell you, this last week, I felt like I must have done something wrong. Because every time I turned the corner, it was getting whacked again. I'd get the phone call. I'd be talking to a family. I'd have my phone in my office. I'd go back in the office. I'd pick up my phone, and it had blown up with another 50 messages telling me where I had to be next and who was hurting the most. And there were times when I felt that the clouds were going to cover up the presence. Guess what? David felt that way too. David experienced the presence of God. And David experienced the low points of the difficulties of life. David understood the world from the perspective of a king, but he also experienced the world as a youngster from the perspective of a shepherd. And David wrote the 23rd Psalm, a psalm that still resonates with us today, not from the perspective of being on the highest highs or on the lowest lows, but from the perspective of a follower of God who sought to live an evergreen life, who sought to be in God's presence no matter whether he was in the sunshiniest day in a sparkling brook or whether he was in the valley of the shadow of death. He wanted to know that God was with him. But the wonderful thing about David is that David didn't just want to know, David knew. He experienced that presence. Now, this is a guy who experiences a lot of difficulty in his life. Some of it was his fault. Much of it wasn't. In the early days of his life, when God had anointed him to be the next king, he had a problem. And that was simply that there was already a king on the throne. And Saul, who should have been an ally, knew that David had been anointed. And Saul sought David's life. It's not easy when you're running from the king to experience the blessings of God. David literally was moving in the valley of the shadow of death for much of his life. But David continued every day to experience the presence of God. And David knew at his best that the Lord would take care of him. He experienced the world from the life of a shepherd. And as a shepherd, He knew that he needed to care for his sheep, that his sheep were reliant upon him, that his sheep needed him to get to where they were going. They needed him every single day to take them to the water, to take them to the grass, to make sure that they were all there. So David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And this is where I really want to focus with you for the next few moments. I shall not want. What does it mean to have all that you need? You know, most of us live in a world in which we never have everything that we want. In fact, our world is pretty much based on an understanding that we will never have enough. It's built into us. If we have one car, the next thing we're going to think about is how we need two. How many channels do we really need on our cable boxes? I mean, if you're like me, you remember when television had dials. And the channels were numbered to 13, right? And then that wonderful U that had a few more. We always found something to watch. Saturday afternoons for me was watching Canadian curling. Did anyone else have to experience that? I know the rules. Anyone else see old episodes of Star Trek? To the point that by the time that Enterprise shot through on the opening credits, you knew what was going to happen by the end? Now, we sit in front of the TV with thousands of stations and Netflix and everything else, and we can't find anything to watch. We want more. And every day it's about acquiring more. Satisfaction and contentment is not something that we're built with in today's world. No matter how much we have, we always want something more. When David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he is understanding a basic human instinct, an instinct that we all experience. We all want our life to be better, to have more. But I'm going to add another wrinkle to that today. We all want it to be a little easier, don't we? You see, even when we feel like we're content, our biggest problem is that crisis and difficulty hit us. And when crisis and difficulty hit us, then we want to run away. We want to escape from the life that we're living. Like I told you, this week, the cauldron that I prepared sermons for caused me to change my mind several times. But every time my mind was changed as the nature of what I was going to preach on the 23rd Psalm, something fascinating happened. The 23rd Psalm spoke to me no matter where I was. When I was feeling like I was beat up and I was going through the valley of the shadow of death, God continued to say, "Dan, you've got what you need. I'm here with you. I'm here for you. And I have strength that you don't even know about. When I was empty, God was there to help fill me. When I thought that there was nothing more that I could do, God sent someone to help." It's amazing what happens when we understand that it is God that is leading and not us. See, this is the other aspect of what we have to understand when we read the 23rd Psalm. The 23rd Psalm is not a power of positive thinking message. The 23rd Psalm is not a pull yourself up by your bootstraps poem. The 23rd Psalm does not help us to be strong enough. The 23rd Psalm helps us to know that with God, we are strong enough. And folks, if I can get across one thing to you today, it would be that. By myself, I do not have the strength. With God, I am strong. That's what David was telling us. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you today. David knew that on his bad days, God carried him. He knew that on his good days, it was because of God's grace. He knew that everything in his life was a blessing from God. And he poured it out in one very short, very meaningful psalm. God is who we are to follow. The Lord is my shepherd. But that tells us something that we don't always like to hear. Something that I struggle with in my American understanding of rugged individualism. I was taught as a kid that my job was to be tough enough, strong enough, good enough to handle all these things. But here's what the 23rd Psalm tells me. I'm a lamb. I'm just one of those sheep that are out in the pasture seeking, always seeking to find that little place in the sun. Now, I don't have a lot of sheep in my house. I don't raise lambs, though I grew up in an area that did. But what I do have is I have a little toy poodle. And Jazz always finds the place where the sun's shining into the house. Whenever I want to find where Jazz is, all I got to do is find where the rays of the sun are coming through the window. Because Jazz loves to sit in the sunshine. We all do. It's warm. It's inviting. It helps us to rest. And that's part of what we want to do as the lambs of God. We want to be in God's presence. But the problem is in our world, many of us don't like being led. How can we be content with being the lambs of God? Now, at this time of the year, it's important to recognize that God isn't asking us to do anything different than God has given us in the example in Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, when God sent his own son into the world, God sent the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, to show us how to live. And the interesting thing is that Jesus doesn't make his own rules up as he goes along. Jesus doesn't do what he wants. Jesus does everything in obedience to God the Father. Jesus is quite literally the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is completely obedient. He's content with where he is going. Does he question God sometimes? Of course. Does he pray constantly? Yes. Does he have days that are good days and bad days? I would say he certainly does. Jesus experiences everything that we experience in life. Jesus has days when he celebrates wedding feasts with friends. And he dances and he drinks and he parties with the buddies. He was criticized for that. Jesus has days when he is attacked by enemies. And he has to escape from mobs because of what he has done or what he has said. Jesus undergoes persecution and loss. He goes to the grave of Lazarus and he weeps. He experiences what we experience, pain and loss and joy, good days and bad days. And he is renewed every day by his prayer and by his community of faith that he surrounds himself with. I want to make sure you hear something. Lambs are community animals. They walk in flocks. And the first thing that Jesus, the Son of God, did was he gathered around himself friends who would walk with him. At his time of greatest need, he surrounded himself with those friends. He took three into the Garden of Gethsemane. He walked and he talked with those whom he loved. And when he lost people that he loved, he felt the loss. He knew that you needed to be surrounded with people who would support you and protect you, even in the presence of God. So when I thank you for helping these families this week, when that's part of our prayer, I want to let you know that that's being a good sheep, a good lamb, a good follower of Jesus Christ. But I'm also going to tell you this, you didn't do it alone, and you can't. Your pastor didn't do it alone. I needed you. You didn't do it alone. We needed each other, and we all needed Jesus. Because Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. And even the presence and the power of God the Son followed the same example of being evergreen under the 23rd Psalm. He surrounded himself with loved ones. He knew the presence of God in good days and in bad days. And he surrendered to God's will in his life and understood God's presence regardless of where God led him. When many people bristle about the understanding of being obedient to God, and this is one of the difficulties that we as followers of Jesus have to accept, we do the best in life when we follow the leadership of God in life. Some people think that as the pastor, my job is to lead the people. And yeah, there's part of that. But my primary job is not to lead you. My primary job is to follow him. If I follow Jesus, then it's easy for me to lead you. Because on my own, I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough, I'm not wise enough, I'm not good enough to do any of the things that leadership demands. But in God, through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and through the power and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, I can accomplish what God is doing. We can accomplish what God is calling us to do. As you go through your moments where you feel like your leaves are falling off, when you go through those moments when your life is brown and withered, and you want to reclaim the evergreen status of day in, day out, in season and out, Christian faith, go back to the 23rd Psalm. Read it through. It is still powerful. And it shares with us those simple truths that the world around us, though they know how to quote it, don't truly understand. The Lord is my shepherd, and I'll follow where God leads. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for what you continue to do in our presence. We thank you for the work of God that you have shown us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord God, we thank you that you have given to us the strength to endure in good days and in bad days. That you have called us into your presence, and that regardless of what we experience, you continue to lift us up. Lord God, we rely on your grace, and we are thankful that your love continues to be poured out onto your people. Whether we come to you today in a wonderful place, or whether our lives are filled with clouds, help us to lean on you and on each other. Help us to know that we're not in this alone. That you have called us to follow you, and you have called us to walk arm in arm together in community. Lord God, bless this flock of sheep. Help us to be strong in you, to be renewed by your Spirit and covered by your grace, so that we may shine the light of your love to each other and to the world. And we pray it all in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Amen.